Welcome to the RC New Podcast. This is episode 34. My name is Tim, and I thank you for listening. Today, we've got another fun show lined up with another very interesting guest. I will be speaking with Jim Rowe, an individual who has not been in the hobby for a long period of time. However, in the short amount of time that he has been a RC enthusiast, he's been able to accomplish a lot and really has been able to attract some interesting sponsors and has had some interesting opportunities as a result of that. So I'm looking forward to letting Jim share his story and share his background in the world of radio control. Before we talk to Jim, there are a few news items to touch on from the last couple days. This weekend is going to be quite busy. This weekend is June 11th and 12th, 2016. For one thing, there is a double dose of Scale RC Adventure taking place in the UK. Not only is there the first UK edition of the Recon G6 featuring the conductor of the G-Train himself, Mr. Brian Parker, that will be taking place on Saturday, June 11th at Bracken Rocks in Derbyshire. That event, I think, needs no further explanation. It is just, that should be fun. Period. End of story. Brian Parker's there. The folks from RC Car Zone are putting on the event, or they have a major hand in the event. So they have a lot of input into what's going on. And then on Sunday, the UK Scale Nationals are taking place at the same location, Bracken Rocks, Derbyshire, and that is going to have just an amazing amount of activity going on around it, from the challenging courses, trail runs, a large number of drivers will be showing up. There will be a large number of prizes given out. I've seen photos that Peter Gray has been sharing on his Facebook feed of the awards that will be given out for some of the driving challenges. They look spectacular. Just a very unique, definitely a one-of-a-kind trophy for drivers for that event. So that is one thing that's going on. Back here stateside, Shred the Ledge, Trevor Rushford, who you may have heard on a previous episode of the RC New Podcast, he has one of his Shred the Ledge events taking place this weekend. You can learn more about that by checking out Trevor's Facebook page. And there are just really everywhere you look, there are other events, and it seems like a lot of them are taking place this weekend. So if you're looking for an event to participate in, and maybe you can't make it to this weekend, it's too short notice, definitely, go on Facebook, check out forums, find your local hobby shop, find your local RC track, find your local group of crawling and scaling individuals, and just find out what's going on in your area. And there are undoubtedly going to be some events taking place in the community that you live in or within a short driving distance. Or you could always, hop on a plane and fly over to the UK. Outside of events, news and goings on, Dromeda has released their latest iteration of their Kodo mini quadcopter, and it's the Kodo HD. I haven't talked about quadcopters much on the show, but it's an area that I have having an increased amount of interest in personally. So with that, I will be doing more writing and more articles on quadcopters and hopefully getting one into my hands at some point in time. But if you're looking to get into quadcopters and you want to start out small, both literally and figuratively, the Kodo HD looks like an interesting model to jump in with. It's not very big. It has a length of 4.17 inches diagonally, so it's it'll fit in the palm of your hand. Meant to fly indoors, you could probably take it outdoors as long as the wind isn't too strong. Powered by a LiPo battery, comes with a USB charger. It features a full HD digital 1080p video and still camera. That's all built into the quadcopter itself. The design of the frame has been reimagined and rethought, so it definitely looks different from the original Kodo quadcopter that Dromeda had created and released. On top of all that, the price, it's only $59.99, so it's a very budget-friendly quadcopter. So if you're looking to just try your hand out at flying, just get the basics down, this might be a quadcopter for you to check out. And again, that's the Kodo HD. You can read about that at rcnoob.com, or if you head over to dromeda.com, you can find out more there as well. And that will do it for news for this episode. I'm very, very happy to introduce an individual that I have been chatting with for a while on Facebook. I've been admiring his videos and admiring his photos of his builds. He has a large number of rigs. They're just beautiful looking machines. Now let's hear from the man himself, Jim Rowe. So I'm pleased to welcome Jim Rowe to the RC Noob podcast. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing great. You reached out to me a few weeks ago, and we've been exchanging Facebook messages back and forth, and we've been connected on Facebook for a while, and I've been watching in awe and with a twinge of jealousy at some of the fun stuff that you've been doing, and just kind of marveling at some of the vehicles that you have been putting together and having an opportunity to drive. So before we launch, you know, full bore into your background, I'll let you just introduce yourself for the listeners and kind of share your quick side of the story, and then we'll dig a little bit deeper into your hobby history.
Well, I appreciate it. A lot of the it seems like these last three months or so, you probably have seen me different places a lot. It seems like all I've been doing is traveling. I think Axial Fest will be my last event that I'll have to do for a while. Then I'll get to just settle down here in Vegas and relax and do some more fun stuff. But I got a lot of good support for the builds and stuff. I'm not real good at building or electronically and all that stuff. So I got a lot of help with my builds. So I do have a lot of good people around me that help, and we'll get into that later. But I'm sure that I can't do it without some of my friends that help me with electronics and paint and some of the other cool stuff. So I think I surrounded myself with some good people.
There's no shortage of good people in the hobby. I've definitely Absolutely. Noticed that. I've definitely Absolutely. Noticed that.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so Jim, what with every guest that I've had on the show, I like to hear what drew them to the hobby. You know, how old were they? You know, what was their first vehicle? The first, you know, vehicle that they kind of fell in love with. So really, you know, what drew you into RC cars?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm not like most of the other guys that you probably, or girls that you'll probably interview or talk with RC. I haven't been into it that long. The way I got started was my wife and I went to we have the NHRA here a couple times a year.
Okay.
And we went out to the races, and we were watching the Traxxas. They have a really great setup at the NHRA events, and we were watching it, and we both decided to get ourselves a 1/16, you know, the smaller slash, and 4x4.
Okay.
Which I knew once I got one, in a week or two, I was probably going to get the one size bigger and go. Yeah, I just know me. And once I do it, I go full bore. So we each got one. She drove hers a few times. I drove mine nonstop until I just had to repair it, and I needed something bigger and faster and stronger. So I ended up going to my local track and ran into a military guy. We just started talking. It was a fluke, Rob King, and a good friend of mine now. And he says, let's, you know, we just started talking. I said, what do I got to do to get into the racing scene? the short course racing stuff because I like jumping. I raced BMX for years and years and years with my kid.
Okay.
State champion. My son was a state champion, and we were really into that. Traveled around. All the stuff I'm doing now with RC, I was doing with BMX, which seems like there is a connection there. I've talked to a lot of people that have done both, so it is kind of a connection, I guess. That's how it all started. We went to my local track, ran into Rob King, and he got me into the track stuff. I ended up doing short course, and I ended up doing the stadium truck and on the course, on road, and had a blast, did that for about a year, I would say. And then I just kind of, the numbers kind of slowed down. There wasn't very many drivers, great group of guys, but it was all the same drivers every week. So it kind of got kind of boring. I wasn't good enough to travel and be real, real competitive. I guess I could have been if I put my mind to it, but just wasn't into it. And I still support all my guys out the local track. I'll still go down there and root Rob and the guys on. But so then I got into the off-road stuff, which was the scalers, and it was took off, and that was about 2 years ago. So it's been a short period, but if you know me and some of the guys out there will, I'm very, let's do it full bore. So that's kind of the short version, I guess. I don't know if that was a short or a long version, but that's how I got started.
Okay. So you're interesting that you haven't been involved for that long, but it's, you know, like you said, it fits your personality that you go full bore and, you know, you've gone from zero to, I don't know, 120.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a short amount of time. So that's really cool. Was there something about the scale scene, the scale off-road trail rigs that drew you to it? Was it the scale appearance? What, you know, was it the slower, more methodical technique that's needed to drive them on some courses? I'm just curious, what was it that?
Yeah, well, I think what it was, Tim, is my wife and I are big outdoor people, and we love to hike, and we love to take pictures. And I think the picture aspect of making it look, when someone looks on Facebook and sends me back a post saying, man, I thought that was a real truck, you know, that to me is a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Like that, I'm retired now, so I can go out and trail 3-4 times a week and go out and take pictures and just go out there and just have fun. And that's kind of, I think, what really got me into it is I could go get exercise still. I have a bad neck, and like I said, I'm getting pretty broke up from racing BMX and stuff. But so I had to do something that I could do and still be competitive and still be able to take my pictures, be outdoors. So I think that kind of was the whole thing, where I could take pictures, do all the paints, the decals, and the making the trucks look real. And that's when it just took off. And then I met the group of guys and the people that run all the events, and then it was over from there.
Okay, interesting. So the really the outdoor connection,
yeah,
is what pulled you in. And
the photography. I really think it was the photo stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I daily will flip through my Facebook feed and, you know, see a number of posts. Is it real or is it RC? And there are some telltale signs for RC vehicles, but if you shoot it at the right angle, it's so hard to distinguish.
And I know people get sick of that. Is it real or RC? So I kind of don't use that one anymore. I kind of just throw it out there and make them think they know it's RC because I'm on a RC site most of the time, or I'm on my Instagram, which they all know me now, so they know it's RC. But that's what I like to do, is make it look real.
Yeah.
That's my goal. You know, and I love the G6 stuff. You know, I still do some U4. I have some U4 rigs. But that's, to me, is right back where I was again. It's a different group of guys. They're very competitive. That most of them are young, besides Dan Wilson, teammate of mine. Everybody picks on him, but I'm actually older than Dan, but everybody picks on Dan Wilson, but he's a great, great driver. But anyways, it kind of, the U4 scene kind of goes right back to where I was. So I'm not into the U4 as much as I am to the G6 stuff.
Okay.
I don't like all the rules and I don't like the line. I just like to go, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many episodes of this show you've listened to in the past, but I'll hold myself back from going full tilt into my soapbox speech. But there is so much to do in the hobby.
Yes.
That no matter what you're into, you can find a niche, you can find a spot to settle into, and you can try things out. And your story, I think, speaks volumes to that idea that, you know, you can start out in racing, and if you don't necessarily want to stick with that, you can go off and do something else, and you can find something else that fits into your passion or that blends another aspect of your life with RC.
Right. So, and I think I got real lucky. And like I said before, I surrounded myself with some good people. I have a really, really, a wife that supports me in my hobby, because I am retired now. So I stay home and take care of the house and the dogs and all that little fun stuff and the kids. But I get support from everybody, you know. I got great sponsors. I don't know how that happened, but that all just happened all at rocket speed, all happened at once after the 12-hour fix. And it just blew up after that. You know, everybody jumped on board, and I got some really good people behind me, which has helped me a lot as well.
Well, speaking of that sponsorship and that support that you've mentioned, you're sponsored by a number of brands and a number of companies that have deep roots themselves in the hobby, in the RC world. What is involved in those sponsorship opportunities? And what responsibilities then do you have as an ambassador or a representative for those brands? Just looking at it from the side of, if people are listening and they are interested in getting sponsors or looking to get sponsors, what can they expect to be expected of them once they reach that position?
Well, it really depends. I mean, I've kind of learned that there's different classifications of sponsorship. There's some companies that are like, I call them, when I say mom and pop, I'm talking the guys that are like entrepreneurs that started their own company. You know, they made their own chassis or they made their own wheel or something, and it's just one or two pieces, maybe three pieces, and then it's grown up. And then you have the companies like Proline and Boom Racing and Tekken and Axial that are just the bigger names in the hobby. And they all require different things for you to do for them. My thing is if you're not willing to do the work, you don't really want to be sponsored, because it is work. And the beautiful thing for me is, again, I'm retired, so I have that extra time to do those posts, to do the social media side. It's all about getting their name out there, and that's what you're trying to do. Is you want to show to give them a good, I don't know what the word is, but to represent that company with the utmost respect and their brand. And that's the key, is to publicize them. I like to build the different rigs and to paint them different schemes. And like I just did one for the K&K event, you know, a special rig for that. And just to give them a little bit more exposure. And that's the key. So I kind of got a little bit lucky. I ran into a few good people and they referred me to the other companies. And then it just kind of, like I said, really blew up from there.
Sure. Snowballed.
Yeah. So once you're in, once you got a good company behind you and you're doing what they want you to do and they like what you're doing for them, other companies are going to see that as well and say, hey, I want a piece of that. So, again, I'm real lucky. I got some really great companies that provide me with a lot of good parts and fun stuff. I mean, it's a lot of fun, but it is a lot of work too. You know, you got to do your work. You got to build your resume. You got to, you know, and my resume is not that big, but you know, the Air Force helped a lot, being retired Air Force. They know I'm going to represent them pretty well. I think, I don't think I'm going to, you know, do them any harm. So I think it's that kind of helps me out too. I'm out there a lot more than the normal guy, because the normal guy's got to go to work every day. And I don't have to do that. So I give them a lot more exposure, a lot more pictures, a lot more social media time. And I think that really helps as well.
I have, like I said, admired your posts and admired the photos that you take of your rigs. And really, I have an appreciation for how you represent the companies that you are sponsored by and, you know, that you represent. So you're doing a bang up job, in my opinion.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate
for whatever that is worth.
No, it's worth a lot. No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So it is, as you said, it is work, but it's fun. I mean, it's something that you enjoy to do, and you're getting perks from it. Some of those perks have allowed you to take part in and witness some unique events. Are there some recent adventures or recent opportunities that you have been able to participate in that you can share?
Well, I think what happened was the first event that I was in, it was at the Worlds, the off-road Worlds that Josh Harris put on, and I won driver of the day for the G6 event there. And then I completed the 12-hour endurance race. I was the oldest one that in my age group, I ended up top of the list in my age group. So, you know, people saw that, and that's what got my name noticed originally. And those were just amazing events. And I at that point didn't know anybody really. I knew a few of my friends, Matt Wolf and those guys that kind of, you know, helped me along to get there and to help me along the course and just teach me the rules and all that. Cause I didn't know any of that stuff yet. It was all new to me.
Okay.
But I could drive. I knew I could drive, and you know, I knew, you know, the lines. I knew all that kind of fun stuff. But let's see, some of the events that I've gone to. Oh my gosh, the most fun that I've had, I think, had to be last weekend. I really, between that and the Proline event that Paul put on from Proline, he put on an event that was a daytime and a nighttime event, and it was a poker run at night. They had these huge bonfires where you would, when you come up to a bonfire, you knew there was your pick of your cards. And that's where you pick one card, and you'd go through five bonfires and get all five of your cards. And then, of course, the best hand at the end wins.
Okay.
So that was fun. Got to meet a lot of people. Got to go through the Proline factory, which I had never been through. So I got to go down a day before and go through that. That was a great experience. Never knew how much work it took, you know, how much detail it takes to build one plastic body is just amazing. It's like building a real car. It really is. Then last weekend I just got back from the K&K event. It was the third annual, I think. Pretty sure it was the third annual. We just had so much fun. The group of guys, there was almost 380 or almost close to 400 trucks there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane. And the people, I mean, we pitted right next, the Proline guys, we pitted right next to the Pitbull guys. And the whole weekend, we just, I mean, to me, that it tells me that this hobby is going somewhere, that it's not all negative. It's not getting online and busting the other person's company or downplaying the other one's company. And then if you are doing that, you're playing with the guys, you know, you're having fun. And we did that all weekend long, back and forth between Pitbull and Proline. And, you know, we took pictures together. We know we're all from the USA and we're just having a good time and playing with toy trucks. You know,
right.
We're all one big team. And it was just a great, great time. We had so much fun. And it really, to me, it sealed the deal as, hey, okay, because I was frustrated before the K&K event. There was a lot of jealousy. There was a lot of negativity, I guess I want to say, out there. You know, I got lucky enough to be one of the 50 to go to the Axial release party for the SDX-10-2.
All right.
Met a lot of great people there, and that helped me realize that there's just a lot of good guys out there that'll help you, you know, that'll be, they got your back, you know. And between the team thing, I didn't know if that was out there. You know, I went to the Scale Nationals this year, and it was dead serious. I mean, these guys are cutthroat, you know, but they're 20, 30 year olds. I'm 51. So, you know, I don't care if I miss a gate. I don't care if I fall off the cliff, you know. It doesn't matter to me as much. But we just had a great event. And the Kirby family, they opened up their, they call it a farm. To me, it looked like an RC park to me. Beautiful, beautiful place. And they opened up their family farm to us and all those drivers and families and kids. And it was just a great event. You'll see all the pictures online. I'm sure people have posted. I know I posted a few. I didn't get to take as many when I was driving, but there was some other photographers out there taking pictures. But we just had a great time. And I do want to thank the Kirbys publicly because they did put on an awesome event. And if you guys want to go to a fun but still competitive event, that's the one to go to every time. Get out there and at least do one. Because next year, I think he's going to have to limit the amount of signups because it's getting big.
Yeah, when you're talking close to 400 vehicles, that's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. I mean, and then there are bodies that go with those vehicles as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, and three classes. You know, a lot of guys were running all three classes. I ran two classes. And then they had a fun U4. They have a U4 track out there. They had that out there. The kids, they had their own little competition. They all got medals.
Fun.
Yeah, it was just a great family event. They had so many giveaways, prizes. And that's the other thing. I really want to thank all the companies and the sponsors of these events. Some of these guys that aren't making a ton of money, these aren't the Prolines and the Tekins and the Axials and the, you know, those kind of guys. These are, you know, Mad Mike and Team K&K and, you know, the little guys that are just throwing back at the industry that's just making this thing grow. Bull Rope RC and all these little companies that are giving back, you know, they're giving prizes to the kids and making the kids want to do this later on. It's making the sport grow. That's what I think is cool.
Yeah, the depth and the size of company, from my standpoint, has just been amazing. Again, you've got your larger companies that have been established, and you know they've done a lot of legwork, and you know, yeah, they deserve to get to where they are now. But then to see these smaller companies, the mom and pops, the, you know, the individual one man shops, really coming up with some creative, unique, and just really fun and useful stuff, equipment, accessories, you name it.
Well,
it takes a big blend to make this hobby run and go. And you need all those parts and pieces, and it's fun to see, you know, the full broad spectrum of company sizes.
Yeah, and I met this one little girl out there. She was probably, I want to say she was 14. I know she was underage because her mom was out there with her, and she was selling these little scale accessories. Had her little booth set up. she had little marshmallows on a stick that looked like they were toasted already. She had little hot dogs that were toasted. I don't know if you saw Parker's live feed that he did, and he interviewed her too.
Oh, cool.
And she had little pit mats, little like scale pit mats that were magnetized. Just some incredible little ideas that this little kid has put together. And she labeled it all herself. She bagged it all up and just was sitting up for the whole weekend and selling her product.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So that is just awesome.
That's what I like to see, you know. But that was so far one of my funnest, most fun events. The toughest event was the 12-hour fix. I didn't think I was going to make that one. That was pretty hard.
Now, you yourself or your vehicle?
Yeah. No, it was me and my vehicle, actually.
Okay.
So, yeah, both of us. And then I did the 10-hour endurance race out in Arkansas not too long ago with Josh Harris that he puts on.
Okay.
I think this weekend he's doing another one out on the where he's at. And then they're bringing one out to Arizona in, I think, September that I'll do. But those are tough. Those are 10 hours straight of hiking and uphill, downhill, through water, over hills. I mean, those are the challenging events that you just don't – the only negative part is you really just don't have time to sit and socialize with people. A year ago from when the – whistle blows till the end. And then by the time I'm done, you know, I'm ready to crash.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
But those are fun. You know, it lets your sponsors, you know, it gives your sponsors something to really take a bite out of and say, hey, you know what? Our stuff is good. It's good stuff, you know? So that helps too. Doing events and doing some endurance type stuff really helps the sponsors as well.
Well, that sounds like you've had quite a few amazing opportunities so far.
In a short time
and you're not done. And that's really cool to see. You mentioned the Axial SCX-10 owners party.
Yes.
I just want to circle back to that for a moment. You were one of the first few to see the second generation of the SCX-10. I'm an SCX-10 first gen owner myself. I love the platform. I love the creativity that I've seen people build upon that platform. And I really like what I've seen just in viewing videos and people's firsthand reactions to the SCX-10 too. And now I've seen other people, you know, people are getting them into their hobby shops. They're getting them into their hands and they're starting to build these things out. What are your initial impressions, or what were your initial impressions of that rig?
Well, I think, you know, besides the negativity of people putting negative stuff out there, I mean, I knew that was going to be the first thing is weeding out the people that are going to say negative things that aren't big Axial fans, you know. Because there's other brands out there, you know, not everybody runs Axial. I love Axial. I do run their product, but I run other products as well. So, but I'm a huge Axial fan. So what they did is they listened to our complaints, I guess, to our concerns, and they made changes to those and they fixed them. And they really did. I mean, the turning and everything that we were complaining about, they listened. They're not a huge company. There's 15 guys there that are sitting there trying to pump this stuff out, design, do the box, you know, all that stuff. And they listened and they really came through. I had one. I got rid of it to Todd out at the K&K event because I couldn't carry it back home.
Oh.
But I knew he would build it really fast.
Sure.
And I wasn't going to get to it yet. So I have a couple more coming. So I'm not in a much of a hurry, but I did get to see it. I got to see all the slides of how it all came to be. And they went through each individual piece of the changes, which we got to see, which was great. And kudos to Casey Curry for opening up his shop to us and feeding us and giving us all the Monster energy we could drink. Which I had one, that was all I could take, but it was just a great get together. And they listened to what we had to say, and they fixed the problems. And I think it's going to be awesome right out of the box. I think the RTR for a kid, you know, to buy your son or daughter the STX-10-2 out of the box, they're going to love it. They're really going to enjoy it. I'm surprised they did the kit first. They don't normally do that. They usually do the RTR first.
Right. Yeah. I was surprised to see that as well. And I was, to be honest, really surprised to see it followed up so quickly by the bomber kit, which I know a few people that had been wanting to see that come out. But just the 1-2 punch of having those two kits released in a short amount of time took me by surprise a little bit.
But, yeah, I think one of them got, my guess was one of them, that wasn't the original plan, but I could be wrong. My guess is I don't think they wanted it to come out that way, but maybe, you know, I don't know. I know we got, when we left there, they gave us a tire of the kit so I could say, hey, I got a piece of the kit. Uh-huh. You know, they gave us a full tire and a wheel. They wanted us to see the tire compound of the new tire that comes in the kit.
Okay.
And I'm a ProLine driver anyway, so I have to switch to ProLine. But to be honest, straight out of the box for the kids, when they put the RTR, I think what they wanted to do was put the RTR out during Christmas time or close to it for the kids, you know, for the newbies. And sure. It's going to be an awesome, awesome RTR. And I collect. I'm sitting here in my RC room right now. And, you know, my local guys give me so much stuff because of all my kits and cars, how many I have in such a short period of time. I have way too many, way too many. But I can't wait to get my hands on the RTR there, because then I can upgrade the parts that I want to upgrade for my sponsors and then just go out and run it.
Yeah, I'm not in a position where I need another RC vehicle.
No.
But I mean, who needs an RC vehicle?
Yeah.
Another one. But okay. I've got a soft spot in my heart for that Jeep body style.
Yeah.
And just all the detail that they put into that body and all the thought that went into the chassis. It's a vehicle that I've got circled as, you know, If I can find the funds, that may be one of my next vehicles to get and maybe build it for one of my kids. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a good vehicle. It's going to be really, I think it'll be strong. But I don't think you'll have any issues with it whatsoever.
So since you mentioned you've just been leading into all my questions. It's great. It's been working out really nice for me.
Let's go live. Let's just go viral. We'll go travel the world and just do radio shows, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So you mentioned you have a lot of RC vehicles. What is in your RC garage? And don't feel ashamed to name every single one, because you cannot have too many RC vehicles.
Oh, yeah. No. You can't. You really can't. And I honestly, I have to turn around and look at this place, because my wife was good enough to give me upstairs back corner, which was, we live in Vegas, so we have a whole bunch of vintage, a couple vintage slot machines and old strip pictures and stuff like that of the old strip.
Oh, cool.
But we took all that down, and now it's my RC room, so, which is great. But I probably have, I want to say 30 vehicles. And then, oh, wow. I have a corner of a micro Losi trail trekker that's still in the box. I got a kimono that's built, but that doesn't have any electronics in it yet, that I built for K&K. Well, Rob King built it for me because we had to get it done quick. I have a Dodge, axial Dodge Power Wagon in the box. I got a Jeep Casey Curry edition in the box. I have a G6 kit because I bought some extras of those when that whole thing blew up. So I bought a couple extras of that. That's my favorite kit until this new one came out. But I have that, and I have Nightcrawler. So I do have some crawler stuff. I have the G-Made R1. I have like three or four street cars. I have a 1/8 scale street car that runs off my Venom battery. It's a 6S. It just goes way too fast. And I probably have, I would say 30 or 30 plus Proline bodies sitting ready to be changed over to different vehicles. So I have everything from a Batera Ascender, different ones of those. Most of my rigs are axial based, a couple bombers, a couple Yetis. I was lucky enough to go out and video shoot the trophy truck with Rivas and them when it first came out. And we did some testing and just beat the crud out of that truck. And I have a couple of those. Those are fun. And that's in the scale garage I'm working on right now. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So nice. Tons. Too much.
So out of all of you said you have a few, you have a favorite kit, which is the G6 Jeep. Is there one, just a vehicle that has been built out, you've got everything in it, that is your favorite? It's your baby.
I do have one it's not really that fantastic. I don't know what it is about it. It's been through, it's the base of it, the guts of it is what I ran this weekend at the, in the class 2.5. And it's an axial based rig. I ran it in the 10 hour in Arkansas. I ran it in a couple of our events here in Vegas, and I ran it in the K&K event. So it just never fails. It just keeps on going. And I don't know what I did on this rig that I've never had a problem with it. I ran that 10 hour endurance race with no problem straight. So I don't know. Thank you. I mean, Rob, I keep saying Rob. Rob King is he's an Air Force guy, a friend of mine. And he does all my electronic stuff, anything to do with my Tekin motors. He is a Tekin guy too, so he knows the ins and outs, but he's an on-road guy. He has nothing. He doesn't do any off-road stuff at all. I've been trying to transfer him over, but it's not working. But he does all my, like if I have a kit that I want to get built, he loves to do it. So he'll take it, he'll build it in like a night. One night it'll be done. And then he'll put a motor in it and all the electronics. It's just amazing. So he does a lot of my work for that. And whatever he did to this truck, I don't know, but it doesn't break. I don't know. That's what it is. It's an SCX. It's boom racing underneath, has all boom upgrades. The fat axles, which are phenomenal, bomb proof. And then it's Proline tires and all the Proline accessories up on top with the roof rack and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the guts are Tekin, the Venom batteries, and I don't know. It just keeps going. I don't know. I wish I knew, because I would build one exactly like it for this year's fix.
Nice. So it's just a reliable rig.
A reliable, just I can pick it up and I know it's going to go out and not break. It's not going to die. But I've been getting into the real scale. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have my first event in November and super scale, small tire trucks, hard body event here in November out in Vegas. So I'm starting to get into the more super scale, which is not a lot of these real tough gates. It's more of a trail exploration type of thing.
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever watched any of Chris Rappel's videos on YouTube with the Camel Trophy trucks from, he's in Canada. he does these explorations and they're just cool. And he's going to come out to Vegas and help. He's going to bring a few guys too. And we're going to do an event in November if it doesn't mess with the fix too much.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So fun event. It's going to be free. It's not going to cost anything to enter. I'm going to get all my sponsors to donate product for giveaways. And it's just going to be a fun, free event. That's what I want to do. I want to give back. So it's kind of what I want to do.
Right now, I want to give you a little opportunity to thank or mention your sponsors and thank them, because I know, you know, they help you and you help spread the word about RC.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I just picked up Venom batteries, which they were my battery of choice for my on-road stuff. So I kind of knew of them before. So Venom batteries is new for my trail stuff, which that's going to be great. They make amazing batteries. So I want to thank them. Boom Racing, they're my first big sponsor. They provide me with so much stuff. Proline Racing, another great company. K&K Hardware, Bull Rope RC, Mad Mike Scale Accessories, Wordy Made Bumpers, some of my custom paint jobs that you'll see online. Those were done by RC Bombshells. And you can go online and see all his different paint jobs. He does just amazing work. And of course, Tekin does. That's all I run is Tekin Motors. So, and my wife, I couldn't do it without my wife. That's probably the first one I should have started with, right?
Yes, definitely.
I'll probably get in trouble for that. But yeah, got great support. And my wife is the number one supporter. So, and my kids, they're just, they're also great. And you, I mean, Tim, what you're doing with the newbie stuff, it's just awesome that you're doing this and getting, letting us say our story and tell our story as well. It's awesome.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to share the microphone with so many amazing people. Just, it's my way of giving back, just the amount of knowledge that I've gained from so many people in such a short amount of time. This is really the only way I could think of to give back, and I like to have people share their story and what got them into the hobby, because everybody that I've talked to, there hasn't been, you know, the same path. You know, your path is different than my path, and you know, Parker got into it completely different from both of us, and you know, all the other people I've talked to. So hearing those different stories for me is fun. And I think the person that is not yet into the hobby, or they're just getting into it and they really don't know, you know, how, maybe what they want to gravitate to.
Right. You know,
hearing all these different stories about how people started in one area and moved over to something else, or maybe they stuck with one thing, they got into race and that's what they're doing now, after, you know, years and years and years. So that's good. And people can help, can gain knowledge from that and grow from that.
Right. Right.
So with all of your social media presences and everything else that you're doing, you're sharing photos and you're sharing video, where can people go to find you and find out what you're doing with your rigs, or what events you're going to, things like that?
My Facebook page is just my name, Jim Rowe, and my Instagram is Rock and Row RC, and that's Rock ROCK, and then just N, and then my last name, Rowe ROWE, and then RC. That's the best place, because I always put stuff up on my Instagram, and of course Facebook. I can put more words out there and stuff. So those are the two places that I post on. And that keeps me busy enough, you know. And we'll start doing some more live feeds. Where we go crawl at, there's not a whole lot of space. You know, there's not a whole lot of reception out there.
Okay.
But to do live feeds. But we are going to start doing some more live feeds so people can get more information and stuff. So. And then I'll see probably most everybody that's listening to this. A lot of them will be going to Axial Fest. So we'll be out at Axial Fest coming up. So we'll get to see everybody again.
I'm looking forward to reading about Axial Fest and following along through various social media channels. I won't be able to attend this year, but I, from all indicators, they're going to have a record crowd, and just an amazing time. As always, you have a bunch of people and they're all into one thing, and that thing is RC. So how can you not have a great time?
Right. Exactly.
Doing that. So.
Exactly.
Well, I hope you have a great time at Axial Fest and at all of the other events that you are going to, and I wish you the best of luck with your event in November as well.
No, thanks, Tim. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I thank you again for joining me on the RC Noob podcast, and we will hopefully chat with you soon.
All right. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it, and we will talk to everybody later.
I want to thank Jim again for being on the RC Noob podcast. That was great to hear another perspective of how he got into the hobby, how his path really is different from any other that I've heard to this point, and different from mine, and it might be different from yours, or it might be similar to yours. Maybe you have just gotten into the hobby with the intentions of driving a faster, short course truck, or a faster RC vehicle, and maybe you're being drawn to something else, whether it be scalers or whether it be on road, you name it. Just having those different perspectives for me is very fun to hear and very fun to listen to. So I thank Jim for sharing his story. Before I wrap up this episode of the RC Noob podcast, I want to give a real quick shout out and thank you to Proline Racing. They are once again offering a 10% discount to listeners of the RC Noob podcast. So when you place your order at ProlineRacing.com, if you enter promo code RCNoobAP10 at checkout, you can save 10% off your order. They have literally everything at ProlineRacing.com, from wheels to tires to bodies to scale accessories, to even, monster truck kits and buggy kits. They have almost everything you could imagine to upgrade and improve your RC vehicle. So again, you can save 10% off your order at ProlineRacing.com by using promo code RCNoobAP10. Quick, it's easy, and it will save you 10%. So thank you to Proline Racing for sponsoring this episode of the RC Noob podcast. And with that, we're going to wrap this show up. I do thank everyone for listening. If this has been your first time listening, thank you very much, and I hope you'll listen to our future episodes. Until that time, there are plenty of episodes to listen to at rcnoob.com. If you'd like to get the latest episode of the RC Noob podcast delivered right to you, well, that's easy too. You can subscribe right through iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app. Just simply search for RC Noob. And with that, keep those batteries charged up, keep that nitro topped off, and we will talk to you next time.